here we are. Julie asked me a few weeks ago to if I would be willing to do this, and talked about maybe reflecting on work and Sabbath. I am reflecting on work today, but this sermon, as I've been working through and reflecting on the passages, has taken a completely different direction from what I thought when I first set out on this. The time that I spent in reflecting on today's passages and some of the things that happened related to work. So I'm intrigued by the title of our sermon series, Roots and Wings. It's a little bit of a paradox. Are you rooted or are you flying? And how do you do both at the same time? But one of the ways of looking at this that I've come to is that roots are about finding our place in God and about those practices that we may adopt that help to ground us in God on a daily basis, but in our lives generally. And I would consider wings to be the ways that God's Spirit equips us and propels us out into the world to live, to share our gifts, and to carry out the purpose that we have been given, whatever that may be in various contexts. And ideally, there would be a balance between these two things, these two states, that they would work together in harmony. To be too focused on roots with no wings could mean that we aren't using God's gifts that he's given us to live in this world, or that we aren't stretching ourselves. It would be kind of like living timidly or hiding our light under a bushel, if you remember your old Sunday school songs, or burying our talents, other things that Jesus has talked about. To be too focused on wings could mean that we can become proud in our own accomplishments, or that we could get shaken from our relationship with God when life becomes too difficult. And we may lose sight of the need to be grounded in God as we're out stretching our wings and doing all kinds of things. So we need to try and live this paradox and balance these things of being rooted and flying at the same time. But it's, I think, a really important thing, as I've been reflecting on this, for us to be conscious of as we're looking to grow in faith and character. When things are in balance, those periods of flight are the opportunities for us to be transformed, to be shaped, and for God to show us also ways that we need to continue to deepen our relationship with him. And ideally, that time of flight is still dependent on God. It's as we are tested that we can develop the fruits of the Spirit and the character of Jesus. So, can you flip to a slide now, Echo? Dolly Parton puts it another way in her song, Jesus and Gravity. I'm not going to play this. I'm just going to read some of the lyrics. But I love this. I think it's kind of cool. So, I'm to the point where it don't add up. I can't say I've come this far with my guitar on pure dumb luck. That's not to say I know it all, because every time I get too high up on my horse, I fall. Because I've got something lifting me up, something holding me down, something to give me wings and keep my feet on the ground. I've got all I need, Jesus and gravity. But I'm as bad as anyone, taking all these blessings in my life for granted one by one. When I start to think it's all me, well, something comes along and knocks me right back to my knees. And I've got something lifting me up, something holding me down, something to give me wings and keep my feet on the ground. I've got all I need, Jesus and gravity. I think she's singing about roots and wings in this song. It's about the need for humility in relationship to God, and that we need to recognize that we need God, and that all that we have comes from God, that it's not about what we have accomplished or what we've done. And then that God lifts us up. This is the theme that struck me as I reflected not just on Dolly Parton's song, but on the scriptures for today. And I think both Bible passages speak about it in different ways, but that they put forward the same theme of the need to be rooted in our relationship with God, and then that God pours out his Spirit so that we can take flight. So maybe we can put the shutter on so that I can move on. So I've been conscious this week about where I stand in this balance, not just this week, the last few weeks, about where I stand in this balancing act, and where my growing edge is in my life. And I'll pose these two questions to you as I'm going through. In what areas of your life do you sense the Spirit of God equipping you and lifting you up or pushing you to take flight, to do something more with the gifts you have? Or where do you sense the Spirit of God pulling you to your knees in humility so that you can become more rooted in God? For me, and this is where work comes in, my work is a real testing ground these days, and it's in the context of my work, the circumstances that I've found myself in the last month or so, that I really feel God's Spirit nudging me to grow in leadership, but also in character, and that God wants to shape my character in some ways to be more and more like Christ. So I'm going to get into that a little bit more, but let's turn to the gospel reading first. So we look in Luke 18, beginning at verse 9, and it starts with who Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to people. Oh, great, sorry. I thought that was on the screen. No, don't have it on the screen yet. Sorry. I'm confused by the screen here, which is showing me one thing that you can't see. So Jesus is speaking to those people who are confident in their own righteousness and who look down on everyone else. And then we read about two people, a Pharisee and a tax collector. We see the Pharisee is very confident in his righteousness, but also I think one of the important things that we see the Pharisee do is to compare himself to other people. He talks about He talks about robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even the tax collector. He thanks God that he's not like them, and he feels really good about himself. So this is a guy who's clearly got it all together, and he has no need for God's help, really. I mean, he wouldn't say that, but that, I think, is what comes across. He fasts twice a week, gives a tenth of all he has to God. And then we look at verse 13, and I was struck by the tax collector's posture in this. He stood at a distance. He didn't come in. He stands back. He looks down. He beats his breast, and he cries for mercy and says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." So in contrast to the Pharisee, here's a guy who's not very confident. He's not an in-charge kind of guy. And doesn't come across in a very it's not a really great picture, at least not someone that on the face of it you might emulate, because he doesn't seem to have it all together. But what Jesus does is turn that around. He does that in a lot of parables, doesn't he? And in verse 14, he tells us that the tax collector, that man, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves before God, who turn to God in repentance and dependence, who seek to be rooted in God, are exalted. They're raised up higher. They're justified. They're given wings. You see this in many different ways in Scripture, and this is has come up for me in the last few weeks in different places. Verses like "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." "Humble yourself before God and he will lift you up." All of these images make me think of this theme of roots and wings. In being rooted in God in humility, we are then open to the Spirit of God equipping us, blessing us, pouring out his grace and lifting us up. So this parable seems pretty straightforward, but it also is a bit of a trap, and I don't know whether you see it in the way that I saw it. Jesus is clearly setting up a distinction between humility and pride, and he's showing us that the tax collector is the example that we're to follow in this, that he's an example of humility in relation to God, and that Jesus tells us he's exalted because he has come to the temple and has expressed his sorrow and repentance. But on reading this, I found myself falling into a trap of thinking, well, at least I'm not like the Pharisee. I'm humble, and I recognize my sinfulness, so, you know. And that's the gotcha in this parable. I'm the Pharisee. As soon as I do that, I'm the Pharisee. And the thing about the tax collector, if you notice, is he's not paying any attention to anyone else around him. He's not comparing himself to anyone else around him in order to lift himself up or to somehow justify himself before God. He's simply coming to God and comparing himself to God's standard of holiness. And he sees his shortcomings and he admits it. He's demonstrating a rightful understanding of his place before God, or maybe that Old Testament term of the fear of the Lord, that he knows that he doesn't meet the requirements of the law. So that was a real lesson for me, as well as I was preparing, because it's very easy, I find, to focus on others and to compare to others and say, well, I'm pretty good. And that's not what this is about. To follow the tax collector's example, we need to be focused on ourselves and how have we lived up to what God expects. So the book of Joel, I won't spend a lot of time on Joel, but there are a few things in this that I think speak to the same theme. The book of Joel is like a lot of prophets, books of the prophets. The general pattern is that the people of Israel have fallen into sin. They've turned from God. They've abandoned their roots in God. And as a result, there is devastation. And then the prophet, in this case Joel, comes along and calls them to repent and return to their God, return to their roots. And then that repentance, that return, leads to hope of a new day. And God brings restoration and healing. God is gracious and compassionate, and not only that, but he pours out his spirit on the people in amazing ways. And I find the images in verse 28 on, which are sort of foretelling what happens in the book of Acts, really powerful images of the spirit moving in our lives. This is God being present with us, and the spirit is in our lives, and we will be prophesying and dreaming and seeing visions. God's Spirit will be poured out on everyone. This is about the Spirit coming in to our lives and helping us to take flight. So I read through this book, and I'm reminded that we also need to be conscious of our roots in God, our dependence on God. And then when we do, God is gracious, and he, through his Spirit, lifts us up and gives us wings and allows us to take flight. But it's God who lifts us up, not we ourselves who are talking about how great we are, like the Pharisee. It's God who gives us those wings and God who propels us into flight. So how does all this relate to work? And to my work over the last little while, and how has this played out as I've been reflecting on these passages? For those who don't know, I have a position of some leadership at the city and manage a large team leading some major projects for the city. And the last month and a half, have been really hard for a number of reasons. The circumstances have been incredibly challenging, and I found myself very angry and frustrated. I've felt very hard done by at times. I've fumed about others. I've had some heated conversations with people. I've noted to myself how much I know, and that if only people listened to me, we'd be in a much better place. I've grumbled and complained a lot about my situation and about other people, and not just inside, but to other people. To the point where I've been thinking of packing it in and finding something else, looking for another position. I realize now that I did not respond to the challenges that I was facing in a very Christ-like manner. That my pride and ego were bruised, although I wouldn't have admitted it in the middle of this, in the heat of the period. And then we had the church retreat a few weeks ago, and this was when I was feeling particularly frustrated, so I was drawn to the quiet room of prayer that Christine Robertson and Dionne Oxford set up. And I spent a lot of time in that room fuming to God about the situation and the injustice of it all. Three words were cycling through my head, confusion, frustration, and uncertainty, and I was tired of it all. But I got the sense as I was sitting there that God was saying I had to sit with that in some way. And I didn't know what that meant exactly. I wanted to just be rid of the situation, and I felt like God was calling me to sit with it, to dwell in there in some way. Then I was asked shortly after that to attend a leadership training workshop with a number of my colleagues from across the city. The instructor focused on the character of a leader, and he used Nelson Mandela and some excerpts from a film, Invictus, as ways to illustrate some really powerful leadership characteristics, the qualities that as leaders we need to create the kind of work culture that, I mean, this is a work thing, right? Create a kind of work culture that produces great results and equips our team to flourish. And that's when it hit me, in particular, that I had not been exhibiting many of these character qualities over the last several weeks. And in fact, many were noticeably absent in my attitudes and behavior. And the worst thing was that this university business school professor reminded me of scripture, although he didn't know he was doing that. But as I was reading the list of character traits, and Echo, if you can put that up, I kept thinking about passages in scripture that talked about many of these things. You could probably find a passage that would talk about many of these, almost all of them, or at least the ones where I felt like I was failing. The Spirit of God is at work in our lives to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. We hear about the fruits of the Spirit. And so things like humility and integrity, temperance, justice, accountability, judgment, collaboration, humanity, all of these things really struck me as not just characters of a leader, but characters of a follower of Jesus. And I was realizing how much I had not been conscious of that, or not been living that out very well. But it is in the trials and tests in our life that God can actually shape our character, and that the Spirit can work to transform us. So that business school professor probably didn't see himself as a prophet, a biblical prophet for sure, but God spoke to him spoke to me through him very powerfully that day. I found some sections of the film actually very hard to watch because I was convicted about some of the things that I hadn't been doing well. So I've begun to look at the challenges that I face a bit differently at work. How can I respond in a different way, in a positive way, as well as how can I help to create some change? But how can I also sit with that and look at what God may be trying to teach me in the midst of this situation? How might God be equipping me to grow through this? But most of all, how do I remain rooted in God, even as I'm facing challenges and trials in a very significant part of my life? I do think that work, as a little aside, is a really important expression of how God created us and who God made us to be. I think many of us think that the most important work from a Christian perspective is to be an ordained clergy or a missionary. I do think that God actually equips us all in different ways to work. And so that there's an important way that God is using our work both to minister to people but also to change and transform us. Can you put the shutter on? So as I've changed the way I've been focused in the last little while, I feel like I've opened up more room for God to work, to transform my attitude and to equip me to deal with the challenges in a better way, and who knows, maybe to fly. Maybe the wings that we see in Scripture will also play out. But I've been struck as I've been preparing for this and reflecting on this a lot about the daily need to adopt a posture of humility with God, to recognize our place and God's place so that our roots can be deepened, and then to trust that God is going to lift me up, to lift us up, and to allow us to take flight. And then in that period of flying, of testing our wings, of doing the things that God has called us to do, it should remind me of my need to be rooted in God. And so we go back to the place of humility. It's like a virtuous circle, I suppose, or a balanced, something in balance. The thing about the gospel reading for today that we see in many different places in Scripture is that the tax collector didn't have to do it all. The Pharisee was the one who was trying to do it all himself, and he was the one who was actually not seen to be the example. But we see with the tax collector, all he had to do was come in a humble way and confess before God and seek mercy, and then he was exalted. And so it's God that does the work when we remember to be rooted and humble before him. So, we come back to Jesus and gravity, something lifting me up and something holding me down, and roots and wings, that we need to be rooted in God, that we need to recognize our place in God, and that God lifts us up. He gives us wings. He sends us out in whatever way into the world to do the things that he's equipped us for. And that even in the midst of the trials in those places where God puts us, he continues to equip us and to remind us of our need for him so that we continue to circle back, roots and wings. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy that you pour out, that you are gracious and compassionate when we come to you in humility. And we ask that you would strengthen us by your word and this reminder, that you would pour out your spirit and lift us up and equip us to do the things that you are calling us to. Amen.